What does that mean? What does genre painting mean? Well, once again, looking towards everyday life for inspiration, to make the spiritual real. So if you can't paint lots of religious paintings with religious figures, how can you use art as really objects that can point us in the direction of our moral responsibilities? Well, one of the great things that the Dutch particularly favoured were these scenes, well, made almost as photographs of their own homes, allowing us through the door to see life as it was. And so thus you have these wonderful pictures which really do give us a window to the past, which I was explaining to you earlier, which are fascinating to view. But for example, this picture here in the Wallace collection is just filled with a silence, a softness in a way. And well, what is it all about? It's fairly ambiguous in a way, but it is perhaps the relationship between a young child and the mother who is trying to teach the child that jobs, you know, how simple they are worth doing. We also see here in the fireplace a little statue of Cupid, of love, the idea that this is a loving household. And also, of course, because the Dutch had such an interest in trying to portray life as realistic as possible, all of the effects of lighting that you see here, this tremendous attention to detail, is really quite something, quite special and wonderfully interesting and unique to go and see in the flesh. But also you see many different types of these so-called genre pictures, not just relating to the family, but also to, well, contemporary problems, let's say, social issues. For example, here we have a view into a very wealthy household with a lovely brass chandelier and a bed in sort of blue velvet in the background, blue silk. And we have this young lady here reading a letter. What is actually going on here? Well, one of the aspects that you often find is that, well, these pictures really do try and push us in the right way, morally. And often these letter scenes are considered to be, well, how should I put it? This is what happens when you have a lover and when you write to each other and you get distracted. For example, this young lady here might even not be the mistress of the household. This might be her. You see here, and this lady is reading out a love letter, and this young chap is looking awfully shy because he's just heard something he probably shouldn't have. Who knows? We also know, for example, the dog in pictures is often a symbol of fidelity. The dog is asleep. Obviously, something's not quite right. Something's gone amiss. And also, for example, you get pictures like this, which are remarkable for the fact that how little is going on in them. But of course, a lot is going on in this picture, and it is particularly funny, this one, because do you see, we have not only this wonderful view into a house, but we also have objects dotted around the place. We have a broom, we have some shoes which have been taken off, and we also have this view of a candle that's just been blown out. Keys in a door, and also this little painting here, which we know is actually a copy of a picture by another Dutch painter called Terborch, who is actually painted a young lady in a bedroom being told off by her father for having an affair, a boyfriend, effectively. So what is this? This is probably actually, I don't know, maybe even a brothel. Who knows? But it is trying to show us that the broom, a symbol of the responsibility of keeping a household, has been neglected for other pleasures. Who knows what's going on behind these doors? Who knows whose shoes there are? But again, isn't it remarkable that for a society and a culture that we might imagine to be so reserved might want a picture like this? And also we have pictures like this. This one, of course, by the great Johannes Vermeer of Delft. In fact, Vermeer is interesting because his mother-in-law was a Catholic, and in Delft there was an enormous group of Catholics living there. His wife, who he, I think after he died, left her with hardly any money, of course, and lots of children, was also a Catholic. And this particular picture here shows us once again a very luxurious interior, but we have this young lady here in a wonderful dress, blue and yellow, weighing out pearls on a scale. Quite ambiguous until you look at the fact that in the background here we actually do have a religious painting, The Last Judgment. This is in some way an allegory on the idea of avarice, of coveting worldly goods. Don't forget, this is the part of the world where things like diamonds are cut, exotic things like pearls are being imported. And you often see in these portraits men and women full to the brim with pearls on them. A sort of almost a meditative picture. I think she has her eyes closed in almost a religious ecstasy, thinking about the pleasures of life. But we are reminded here that everything must come to an end, and we will one day be judged ourselves for this action. And then we also have things like this. If any of you know Shakespeare well, go away tonight and read Sonnet 128. Music is also one of the things that you often find in these pictures, and of course music is not only associated with the idea of jolliness, it's particularly associated with ideals of the world and of what is fruitful, what is enjoyable. But here we actually have a very odd scene. The Wallace Collection and the Victorians called it the Music Lesson, which is a very polite name for what's going on here, because we have this gentleman who is very old-fashioned, dressed up in a very odd costume, which is completely out of his time, or out of the time. So he's slightly old-fashioned. And of course, he's looking at this young girl. Look, there is a key in between them. And actually, look, we also have a painting in the background here of Venus and Cupid, of love. And also we know at the Wallace Collection that originally, through x-rays, that originally painted behind his back was a parrot, which in Dutch paintings are often a symbol of lust. So obviously this, reading Victorian descriptions of this painting, it's quite funny. They call it, of course, this gentleman is teaching this young girl how to play music. But actually the truth is that he has something else on his mind. But this picture is all trying to remind us not to be distracted. And actually a tiny detail that is hardly visible until you get up close to the picture, just on the musical instrument, we actually have a piece of text which says, to God alone, so not to be distracted by these other things. So it's remarkable that such a secular-looking picture could have such a moral tale to it. And of course, Jan Steen, the painter of these scenes, was really the master comic, I must say. This is the so-called celebrating of the birth. Here you see a father who's rather proud of the fact that he has just baptized this little baby in his arms. And of course they're having a party. It's filled with all sorts of things, and it's quite chaotic, isn't it? Look at all the objects. And in Dutch there is actually a saying that if you have a chaotic household, it is a Jan Steen household, because often in his paintings they're just full to the brim with sort of seemingly just mess. Well, what is this telling us? What is this picture all about? Well, one of the things is that it's pointing us into the direction that not is all as it seems. Firstly, look, this lady is hanging, sausages from the fire, of course. Also, there are lots of broken eggs and pans here, you see? In Dutch, it is slang for the cracking egg into a pan is slang for you know what. And also, at the feet here, we see a bed. A bedpan, an object which is used to warm up a bed. Make of that what you will. And look, it seems the mother of this young child is also drinking herself away in the corner. But one of the final little clues as to what's going on here is the fact that there is a man just about to leave the door there. Do you see? And do you see what he's actually doing to the behind the baby's head? Doing the horns. So He's been cuckolded, essentially. And remarkable to think, but this picture is trying to really, emphasize the fact that if you keep a dissolute household, this is what will befall you. A good reminder. But Jan Steen was remarkably funny. He painted scenes like this, and yet he could also paint scenes like this. Remarkable. such a different painting. The mood is completely different, isn't it? We have a prayer before a meal here. This actually sold at Sotheby's a few years ago for £5 million because of how rare and exciting it was. But also just, well, I don't know, it really does evoke something completely different than we used to expect from this artist. Not only do we have a less wealthy household here, but a real sense of dignity in their lives. They have a simple meal in front of them, bread, cheese, and some ham. But also there are other objects surrounding them, indeed, which are also quite interesting. For example, just behind their heads here, we have a quote from Proverbs, which says, "Three things I desire and no more, above all to love God the Father, not to covet an abundance of riches, but to desire what the wisest prayed for. An honest life in this vale, in these three, all is based." So remarkably, I think, dignified, and this idea that a simple life is just as good as an extravagant one. We also have a skull here reminding us that death is, of course, ever present. We must be grateful for what we have. And also, there is a bell, you see, hanging from this very interesting-looking chandelier here, which has written on it, "Thy will be done," that at any moment a bell can ring and take us away. Remarkably interesting, considering what we saw on the previous slide. And of course, we also have other paintings along that same line. This is a wonderful view, not only of a rich household, but also of something rather unsightly going on too. So this lady here is, of course, a woman of wealth. Look at the wonderful way her coat, her clothing is lined with fur. But she must be the lady of the house. There's a dinner party going on behind her, but she is holding a flagon. Why on earth is she doing that? Of course, we wouldn't expect a woman of her rank to go off and get her own wine. Well, of course, where is her maid? Well, look, Nicholas Myers has given us a little window into the basement, where we can see that the maid is actually rather busy neglecting her duties with a soldier. So again, another picture reminding us not to be distracted. And this is another thing, the Protestant work ethic, in this period, of course, Calvinists also believed that a sign of election was things like hard work, things like wealth, that these were byproducts of election. And so these are all important things to look for in society as a whole. This, the lace maker, a remarkably difficult thing, of course, to do. And I should also mention, in this period, women were for the first time in this part of the world actually having the opportunity to make their own objects, to sell and to become at least financial contributors to their own families. But also we have a broom reminding her of household responsibilities, and also shells, do you see, at her feet. And this is supposed to symbolize the fact that the pearl and the shell are always together, so the woman is always linked to the household. It is an important part. And of course, we can't judge these paintings compared to our own viewpoints on these things today, but they're remarkable nonetheless. And also, you see lots of alchemists in Dutch Golden Age painting. What are they about? Well, as you probably know, one of the great pursuits of the 16th and 17th centuries was to find the Philosopher's Stone, to make gold. But in this scene, we have a man here, an alchemist, trying to do exactly that, but just look at the mess that's around him. Look at his wife here, who's having to fix baskets because she can't buy any new ones. And just look at his child there, just idly playing away. He's surrounded by absolute mess. He's also got an egg timer, or a sand clock, just above his head to remind us that life is short and that we should not dilly-dally on worthless pursuits. And don't forget, even great men in this period, even people like Sir Isaac Newton, were absolutely obsessed with the idea of alchemy, making gold out of base metals. So what an interesting painting. And then also, these paintings can be surprisingly interesting and ambiguous in their nature. For example, this is a picture I always look at the Wallace Collection, trying to work out exactly what it is about. We have not a very wealthy household, a very sort of unmade bed, and a lady with her back to her child, seemingly. And also, look at the floor. We have a wing that's been ripped off of a bird. What is this picture about? Is it perhaps about just simply the responsibilities of household and cooking, or is it maybe about lost hopes, lost dreams? How should we look at this scene? How should we apply it to our own lives? It's all questions that we might ask ourselves. But Isaias Bourso is particularly interesting because we know of him that, well, all of his paintings are a bit darker and a bit somber, a bit melancholy. But he also died actually on a ship. He liked to travel a lot, seemingly, because he could never make money as an artist, sadly, but particularly went off traveling the world and trying to become a tradesman and all those sorts of things. He died on a ship. But I wonder if this is perhaps the artist himself trying to give us a sort of a melancholic view of life as it could be in this period. But also, this idea of charity is one that is also found. This is a painting by Jacob Ochtervelt, who was really the master of the hall scene, so to speak. Of course, these scenes show us a very private sphere of life, but here we have a door opened onto the street with beggars knocking at the door, and we have this young girl here who is about to drop a coin into the hat of this young boy. And one of the interesting things about, of course, about this period is that, well, good works and charity, the idea of Catholic good works, that we do these things for our salvation, don't really apply. But I think what this picture is all about is that she is innately good. This is part of her being. That goodness is a sign of election, not necessarily the end of it itself. And look, just behind, we have another view into the room next door of two very proud-looking parents, I think, who are looking on at their little girl giving money to the poor. And actually, this sold at Sotheby's, believe it or not, for a record price, I think about £2 million only a few years ago. So quite interesting indeed. And then you have scenes like this. But what exactly is going on? You have lots of school scenes too, trying to, again, reinforce to us that education is important too, that without literacy, without counting, that we are very little. And this particular painting is also rather interesting because it is called A Family Visiting a School. Do you see we actually have not only these ruffians here causing trouble for this old man who's about to hit this boy with a spoon on his hand because he's misbehaving, but we have a family, quite a wealthy one, actually visiting them. And again, completely ambiguous. We have no idea who this family is. Are they visiting the school because they're young daughters, or maybe that could be a young boy? Are they going to attend this school, or actually, in another way, are they trying to set themselves apart from it? For example, look at the fact that all of these children here are just getting up to no good. They're crying. They're laughing at each other. It's an absolutely chaotic scene, but nonetheless, notions of education and its importance in society is really emphasized here. And, well, why did the Dutch Golden Age end? A very difficult question, and sadly time has run out. But it is a remarkable period that in the space of just over 100 years, art was being produced in the Netherlands, which could really, gives us such a fantastic insight into the beliefs of the period, of how the Reformed religion really did encourage them to produce wonderful works of art that could be useful, not only beautiful, but useful to our moral well-being. And alas, the Golden Age ended for many complex reasons. Imagine a society which was quite decentralized could not cope, especially with the developments that were going on in the rest of Europe at this time. Growing economic trade left them by. And sadly, you also see their art slowly slipping and sliding away. But nobody really ever has forgotten Dutch painting. It has been remarkably well thought of, even in late 18th century France in the period of Louis XVI. And we all know what happened to him. They were collecting Dutch genre paintings with quite a lot of vigour. And also I saw this today in Toronto and the AGO, which reminded me, again, the endearing qualities and the intrigue this art has given us, even a Danish painter like Vilhelm Hammershøi has completely used all of those sort of scenes and created perhaps something fitting for the 19th century to somehow speak of his own times. A subject with a lot of complexities, which can in no way be covered in a mere 60 minutes, but I hope it's given you some idea of what to look for in Dutch paintings when you go to a gallery next time. And also, we have a few minutes. If any of you would like to ask questions, then we have a microphone up here. Robert, would you like to help me? Does anybody have any questions?
Sir, you said, generally speaking, you're interested in objects, like painting. There's so many objects in many of these paintings. I'm just curious whether you ever found any of the objects themselves that were used in paintings, and whether they exist or...
So yes, they have survived, but quite rarely. I think considering how little has survived from the 17th century, for example, things like fine ceramics and things were made in the thousands. Very few times for certain can we say that they have survived, although there are exceptions. For example, great collectors who had their collections painted in still lives. For example, some objects were worth keeping, worth saving, and thus survived, but quite rarely.
I wanted to ask about the dog in the picture of the child giving alms. You mentioned before that there was a dog representing or symbolic of fidelity, and this particular dog was in an unusual stance. Could you tell us about him and what he might symbolize?
A very good question. In this scene, it is rather ambiguous, isn't it? And of course, dogs are, yes, symbols of fidelity, but also loyalty in many ways. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you. Certainly, there's nothing sort of too strange or too sinister of the overtone. No, probably not. Possibly. And another thing to say about Dutch society is that, the class system did still very much exist, and they very much lived within it. For example, lots of orphanages were set up purely for members of certain classes, for example. For example, lots of orphanages were set up by the middle class, for the middle class, and if you were from the poorer classes, you couldn't go there. But there were lots of different institutions based around all the different sort of... the different levels of society that were, and also explaining again that that they honestly believed that wealth was a sign of your election, that it's something to be to look for, and so I think thus here the it's rather harsh in a way what considering our own sort of understanding of subjects of poverty, but there it is an interesting picture, I think, rather ambiguous. Sorry to not give you an exact answer.
The girl with the pearl earring, was it part of the same era? And can you give us your thoughts on that painting and how it arose and meanings within it?
The girl with the pearl earring is again, very ambiguous in a way. We don't exactly know if it was a portrait of somebody specific, or another type of portrait that did exist was the idea that they used to call them tronies, so heads which in some way represented some type of allegorical device. And particularly the girl with the pearl earring is interesting because it's a woman wearing a turban with an enormous pearl on her ear, which just reeks of international trade and exoticism, all the wonderful things that that were arriving on the shores of the Dutch Republic due to their international trade. So certainly that is the main theme, this idea of luxuriousness. And certainly, again, these objects, these very luxurious objects, were seen as not only trappings, but in many cases, but were also the fruits of their hard work, of their election in a way.